The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 299. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
Sucker Free Sunday.
And Brian Monjoma.
What up, Pete?
You already know what time it is, man. Throw down. So, yes, some of us are missing tonight. So let me explain where everybody is. Brett, I don't need to explain shit. Brett of the Wild, as we call him. He comes and goes with the wind. You know, Manny's actually at the movies tonight, people. He is risking his life to see a movie. No, kidding aside, he's at a drive-in, so he's good, you know. I'm pretty sure he's with his buddy Mark. I haven't seen him in a while. And Chris, you know, he's a new father, so we may not see him for a while, you know. That's just how it is. Adam knows about that life, you know. So, yeah, Chris, good luck, buddy. We know we still talk to him every day and stuff. It's not like he's like dropped off the face of the earth. It's just, you know, daddy, you know, he's a daddy now, you know.
He sent us pictures of the kids sleeping, cute and shit,
you know, looking like a baby, you know,
looking like a baby.
That's what babies do. They look like babies, man.
Yeah, man, how does that happen?
I don't know, man. Well, I could explain it to you, but we'll do that off air, you know.
The angels.
Yo, man, I forgot the EMA specials next week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, how are babies made to throw down? Well, you know, when a man loves a woman, and sometimes love isn't involved, you know. And, you know, and if you need infographics, I'll be like, here's this and here's that, you know. Oh, man. Anyway, before we start, a couple of things here. So, yes, episode 300, people, is coming on Thursday, man. Only a couple of days left. It's going to be crazy, bro. So, we got Mr. Paris Lilly from Gamertag Radio joining us as our special guest. We're going to have a nice conversation with him about, you know, his rise and all this other stuff, all these fanboys. You know, it's funny. Paris and I, we talk all the time, right? And like him and I have been inundated by fanboys like crazy recently, so we're just sharing crazy screenshots and stuff, man, you know. So it's gonna be fun talking to him. We're also gonna have Riku's son, one of the founders of Throwdown, you know, gotta have him on there. So that's gonna be a lot of fun for that episode. We're also gonna be having a contest where we're gonna give a game away. The questions will be pretty tough, so looking forward to you know, asking that. I got to figure out if we're going to do a separate video for that. We're going to do it on Throwdown. We'll figure all that out. And also, we're going to announce our biggest contest ever, people. Oh, man. You guys are not going to be ready for this shit. It's going to be nuts. Like I said, your only clue is we're taking it to the next level, you know, so get ready for that. And also, as Carlos mentioned, episode 300 of Throwdown Your Questions will be an AMA special. That means you can ask us whatever you want. So as of this episode, starting, you know, pretty much right now after you listen to it, start asking us questions. We're going to limit them to 3 questions per person. Usually 2. We're going to do it 3 and ask us whatever you want. If you want to ask us some game stuff, that's cool, but try to think outside the box, you know, like some other questions, pop culture, life, whatever, you know, astrophysics. We don't care. Just go nuts. Be creative with it, you know. And for that episode, we're going to have our good friend Andre Tipton on to answer questions. Fun fact about Andre, he was the first big guest that we had on this iteration of Throwdown. So that'll be fun to celebrate 300 episodes of that show, or this show, I should say, with him. So get ready for that, man. So without further ado, let's get into it, man. We're going to start off with our boy, Mr. Tumeke from New Zealand, bruh. So his first question is, okay, with all your talk, he's talking about us, Throwdown, with all your talk about no reason to get next-gen consoles at launch, in all honesty, how many of you know you're going to be getting one at launch? Carlos, I know you're getting one.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Or you getting both, though.
Oh, hell no. I don't mean to sound like a dick, but... I'm getting the PlayStation 5 just because they... Like, I know what I'm getting, and I fixed that, you know, that new hardware itch stuff. So that's the reason why I'm getting that. The Xbox, I'm like... I got my PC. I'm probably going to, I mean, it's pretty beast right now, but I'm probably going to upgrade it next year. So I'm just going to play all my Xbox exclusive games.
Yeah,
maybe that's until the end of time.
Yeah. Since Brett's not here, I wanted to reword the question to be, which one of you is not getting a PlayStation 5 at launch? Because none of us is getting an Xbox, you know? Let's just be real.
Even Brian, I think, can get one. So it's
Brian doesn't need one. He has a PC, you know?
Oh, I thought you were talking about PlayStation.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's a good question. Brian, I already know you're not getting one at launch, but would you eventually get a PlayStation 5?
Yes, because, again, the PS4 is just so damn loud. Then again, it's like a conditional thing, like on the condition that somehow the PS5 is quieter than the PS4, then yeah, probably so.
Yeah. As for me, I keep saying I don't see myself getting one at launch if it's $500 and with these weak ass games. But like I said before, and again, one of the cool things about having a podcast is when you record something, it's for posterity's forever, right? I said if the all digital one is $399, $400. Day one, without a doubt, you know. But I definitely will be getting it within the launch window. I will be getting the console within the launch window for sure. Just not day one. I don't feel it's necessary. And I've stated the reasons before. Many of the games that I want to play are going to be available either on PS4 or PC. No reason to get that. And also, you know, I'll play Spider-Man. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to play it. But I'm just not that excited for it, you know. It's not. It's like, okay, Miles Morales, that's cool. I'm not really a Miles Morales guy like that, you know. Peter Parker, that's my Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying? I'll get the game. I'm pretty sure it's going to be fantastic. I'm pretty sure it'll be spectacular and amazing, you know. But you know, not worth plunking down $500 at launch, you know. But I will be getting it, you know, within launch window when Ratchet and Clank comes, probably. I'm keeping it real right now. You know, the question is about being honest with yourselves. I'm being honest with myself, man. I want that motherfucking Ratchet and Clank. So I definitely will be getting that game, you know, with a PlayStation 5. The question is, will I spend $5 on it? That I have to question because I'm like, Ratchet and Clank. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm definitely going to wait to see. But if that thing's $400, PS5, day one, without a doubt, without a doubt. And as for Xbox, like Carlos, fuck do I need an Xbox for? I got a PC, you know? And I don't know if anybody asks us about these PlayStation exclusives because people say, now you don't need a PS5, you know, just get your games up. He's like, bro, those games. Yeah.
Oh, my bad. It's not even about the PlayStation exclusives. Like, I think most of us in the panel, I think all of us actually believe in generational exclusives.
Yes.
So that's just, you know, that's just facts. And that's why we are going to get the PS5. For me, I think there is going to be a shortage of PlayStations. That's another factor of why I think I'm going to get one at launch, like day one. So yeah, I don't want to be someone that's going to try to hunt in for like PlayStations, like, oh, does this Best Buy have it on Christmas or that kind of stuff. I don't want to deal with that. I'm going to see the first day I get that email. If I get that email, Adam will probably let us know. I'm going to pre-order that.
Adam already got the email thing. Like, didn't you? Yeah. You got an email from Sony. So he's good to go.
It is. So, I guess I'll jump in. It depends on, for me, and I said this last week, I was off the whole grid of launch that I was like, no, until that Call of Duty. If Call of Duty launches at the same time, if that's a launch title, not a launch window, because I'm already going to be playing it to do the review. And that's the other thing. Like, we get a lot of games that are still available for current gen. So it's like there's really no point at this point to just go and get one of those systems at launch. Eventually we'll get it, but right now at launch, what launch titles are going to be, you know, hot off the press that you have to get? Like you said, that Miles Morales, whatever, who gives a shit? That's not enough. That's not enough. That doesn't wow me. You know, we want that wow factor. We want that, oh! And for me, Call of Duty, now, here's a little asterisk with that, is that I don't know what it looks like compared to our current gen. That's what I want to see. I want to see if it's like, oh, 3 tanks in Warzone on current gen, 10 tanks, you know, on next gen. Then you see real crazy war. That's what I'm looking to see. But we haven't seen that yet. Now, they have a big announcement for the multiplayer. I think that's this week, this sometime the 7th or 8th, sometime in September. It's early September, first week or so. And I'm assuming that's when they do the multiplayer. They'll talk about if it's going to have co-op, which it should, because they all had the co-op for the Black Ops series, minus the Battle Royale. Black Ops 1, 2, 3, 4-player co-op. That was always a big thing. So that would be great. So if when they announce that, hopefully they tell us the date. But then again, I think that we know the date. right? It's like November 15th or something like that.
November 13th, which is 13th? Also the date that the PlayStation 5 is rumored to come out.
That's what I'm saying.
There which leads go. Me to believe the PlayStation 5 is going to be coming out that day.
See, now, you if know? That happened, that'll be great. And I also already confirmed people like, oh, well, which one? You don't? I already said digital all day. That's it. Just like all day digital. Friend of the show.
You know.
Missed him for a long time. Hopefully things get better for him in rehab. Listen, but my bad, too much info. Listen, but what I'm saying is, if we don't know if that's a date, and we do get to see some comparable compared to the current gen version, but man, that would pull me in. That would definitely get me to like, shit, I want to play this. Why? Not just to have it, because I don't care about just having it. I want to have something on it worth playing that's going to pull me and wow me. And if it does something spectacular for Call of Duty, then I want to be all in on it day one.
So there you that's go, it. Man. By the way, I called that too. I said, if Call of Duty comes out with PlayStation 5 day one, guys that are like Adam are going to buy it day one. So there you go. There's your proof. You know, Call of Duty has that pull, bro. It has it that does. Pull. It's like a gas giant. The gravity well is so powerful. It just pulls things in, man.
There's certain games that do that. Call of Duty does that. FIFA does that. Most basketball, NBA.
Not FIFA on Switch, though.
No, that's a legacy. That's a legacy. That's the bullshit. I see, now that's a whole other rant I can go on, because I don't get why they make a FIFA version. It's maybe EA that does this shit. They make a FIFA version for the Switch that's missing all these features. It's missing game modes and all kinds of. It's the gimped version, but yet they still call it the FIFA 20. No, call this like just FIFA Legacy or FIFA Switch Edition. Don't call it that, because you're missing all the shit from the real one that's on the other on your current gens, on the Xbox and PlayStation. So I just don't get that. And they get away with it. And they charge full price. And they get away with it. It's bullshit. It's a scam. It should be false advertising. Somebody should sue. Because they're like, all right, you said this is FIFA 20. Where is the street ball? I see that the street ball in the Xbox PlayStation version. I don't see any street ball on this one. Why? And it's you charging me the same price.
Oh, man. Lost my train of thought. But yeah, Call of Duty, man. That's gonna pull people in. Oh, but that's what it was. It was Pac Dan. Piggy Dan. He goes, gotta shoot something.
Exactly. Gotta shoot something. You know? Gotta go pew, 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 pew. In the face.
Yeah.
Get that KD up.
Upper Room AK says, don't do that to your boy Phil like that. Y'all getting all those accessories too. You mean like the fucking headset and shit? Nah, man. We'll wait.
Yeah, we know? Got headsets.
We got headsets. Oh, what if our current headsets don't work? I gotta blow my nose, you know.
Shit, then my wallet's not gonna work for that order. Cause I'm like, I'm not fucking doing it. No, I'm tired of these fucking people triple dipping us and be like, oh, you need this, you need that, you gotta get. I remember I got pissed when Xbox One came out and they had that little adapter shit that you needed to plug in for your headset and stuff.
That's like, right. Yeah.
I was like, this is some bullshit.
What are the accessories? If I remember, I'm just off the top of my head. We got the camera, right? We got the chargeable stand for the controllers. We got the headset.
The controller itself.
The controller, obviously, you know. Yeah, and it does come with the PlayStation 5, people, because people are like, oh my God, you know, what if I want to use my controller? Use the PS controller that comes with the PS5, man. What the fuck is wrong with you?
It doesn't look like we're going to get a special racing wheel, but they said all that stuff will carry over. So if you already have a racing wheel or a fight stick, then those will carry over.
VR headset, though.
Yeah. So. No VR headset.
Yeah. All right, yeah, but no, I'm not buying any of those fucking. I'm gonna buy another controller, and that's it. Like, here's the thing. Again, it's a fucking weird deal with the Rona. We should have already had a controller released. I remember I bought the.
Yeah, PS, they did it early.
Yeah, the DualShock 4. I bought that shit months before the PlayStation 5 dropped. I didn't even open. I just waited. You know. So I'll definitely. So yeah, that'll be the only accessory I buy. I'm gonna buy another controller because gotta buy another controller. You know, that's just how it is. So
I have a question. What up? Are we gonna talk about Miles again later?
Why? What do you want to say? You got beef with him?
So
no, hold on. No, may as well. Again, it's four of us tonight, man. So go ahead and beef shit up if you need to. But go ahead. What do you got to say about Miles?
So, I got a message from Damien the other day.
Damien, because Damien, where you at, bruh?
Shout out to Damien.
You know,
I was so hyped about the Ratchet reveal from last week. And I'm like, oh, this game looks awesome. And then, I mean, obviously, the reason why he replied was sort of kind of like to hate on PlayStation. And he's like, so but what happened to Miles Morales? Why haven't they showed that? That's a launch game and Ratchet is a launch window game. And I'm like, I just told him, I don't know. Why don't you ask them? Or something like that. But I mean, where the hell is Miles Morales?
Yo, I'm going to keep it real right now. Damien, it's a great question. It's a great question. Think about it like this, right? Yeah, Ratchet and Clank is not going to be coming out probably until late February, right? We saw a whole, like, what's a 7-minute demo of that shit, right? Beginning to end, right? Miles Morales is supposed to be a launch game coming out in November, right? And let's be honest. What is Miles Morales? It's a PS4 game up jump to PS5. So it's ready. So why aren't we seeing any footage? Great question, Damien. Even I didn't think about that. Why haven't we seen footage of that fucking game?
It's crazy, man. I just don't understand why. This is the flagship game.
Yeah.
This is what's going to launch your system. We haven't gotten, like, everything. We haven't gotten a price. We haven't gotten a date. We haven't gotten Miles Morales. That's the big game.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, that's a good question. And think about it. Like, people are so hyped for this game, you know? And by the way, I need to clarify this. Because obviously, I've been on Twitter. I've been, like, asking questions about this game. Not that question, which I should have asked. But I've been asking questions about this game. Questioning it, you know? And people are like, oh, why you hate? I'm like, I'm not hating on nothing. They're like, oh, you're going to look real stupid when the game sells well. I'm like, it's going to sell fantastically, bro. Like, just because I question a game doesn't mean I don't think it's going to sell well, you know? Like, people are just so black and white about shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, bro, this is going to be the biggest selling game on PlayStation 5 at launch. I guarantee you that. Why? Because it has Spider-Man in the title, you know? And it's coming off one of the biggest selling games on PlayStation. Of course it's going to fucking sell. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say something crazy. I'm not gonna say anything that crazy. I was going to say something really crazy, like controversial, like, yo, it's going to have a bigger attach rate than Legend of Zelda. No, it's not. But the attach rate is going to be high as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you that. They need to play something. Yeah, they need to play because ain't nothing to play. That attach rate is going to be nuts. As a matter of fact, Carlos, I'm flipping it around right now.
Excuse me?
Let's have fun, man. What do you think the attach rate is going to be in terms of percentage? I'll go first.
Oh.
I'm going to say 80% of people who buy PlayStation at launch or PlayStation 5 at launch are going to buy this game.
Well, at launch?
At launch. Talking about launch. Not lifetime sales. Talking about launch, you know?
That doesn't – I'll go 75.
All right, 75.
It's going to be super high.
Brian, what do you think the attach rate is going to be?
I'm going to say 40.
Ooh, 40. Ooh. Low end.
Well, okay. You guys think that, like, everyone that buys PlayStation is going to buy it for, like, this game?
No, not everybody. Just 80% of the people.
That's a lot of everybody.
Yeah. What else are you going to play on this fucking thing, you know?
Adam, get ready. Call of Duty.
Yeah. That's
a good point. Everyone just forget that it exists now. Like,
I'll tell you this much, if they just announce Call of Duty and that's it, that's enough for me. And that's all I'll play on it. I'll just have my PS4 still to do all the other
Mr. Murdoch.
Carry over. But yeah, definitely Call of Duty.
Brian, you're right. Because I literally just finished saying Call of Duty is going to be coming out the same days. That's a good question.
Yeah, Brian changed my mind.
I got to change my mind too.
Again, Call of Duty just sells like hotcakes. People buy consoles for Call of Duty. Like, remember when... Like, people announced that, hey, Xbox has, like, this... When the PSN went down, right?
Yeah.
And then these guys bought Xboxes just to play Call of Duty. People will do that. And hence why I think that most of the sales will come from guys that are just saying, hey, I need to buy Call of Duty on the new consoles. Boom. Buy Call of Duty. Oh, maybe I'll look into Miles Morales.
All right, Brett. We just, like, threw in an extra question. What do you think the attach rate's going to be on Miles Morales? I originally said 80% because there's nothing to play. Then Brian Ryan, we Call of Duty's going to be coming out. So I'm like, oh, shit, let's scale that back. So I'm going to say 50% now of people who buy PS5 at launch are going to buy Miles Morales.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're muted, bro. There you are.
I said I'll go 30.
30? Okay. Brian said 40. Okay.
Yeah, I'll go 45.
Yeah,
You're going to have to buy the same game that you already bought for this to be a thing.
What do you mean?
Like, they're not, you're not just because you have Spider-Man on PS4 does not mean you can, it is standalone, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a standalone game, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I might jump it up to 40, yeah.
All right.
And I'm sure they'll probably have a bundle, digital bundle that'll include the original game too. So they'll be like,
that's a rumor right now, you know.
They're going to shove it down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Enhanced version for the PS5.
Yeah.
Need to make Skyrim.
Yeah. All right. I forgot what the original question was. Brett. Are you going to be getting a console at launch? You said you're going to get both of them, right?
I'm thinking about getting both of them. I've been socking away money for a while now, and unless, you know, some big expensive thing happens, I should have money for both.
Cool. All right, man. Let's move on to the next question. It is also from Tumeke. The question is, this one's a little bit of a long one. Okay. Now that Joe Staten has been brought in to help get Halo back on track, does this mean we will not be seeing Infinite for a while now? Also, do you think Halo has passed its expiration date and needs to be retired? I feel it's going to struggle against a new generation of shooters. Longtime fans hate the addition of Sprint, LDS, etc. Younger gamers need all those and more. Seems like Xbox is damned if they do, damned if they don't. The last part of your question, we actually answered on Throwdown. We actually made a whole video about it, Throwdown clips. So you can check that out. But yeah, do you think Halo is going to take a long time to come out? I think it's going to come out earliest fall of next year.
I was about to say, they'll have it for holiday next year.
Yes. Yep. It ain't coming out no spring. No fucking way. Because think about it. They just brought in a guy to change the direction of the whole game. That's going to take a while, you know? And I think we're being optimistic saying, you know, holiday next year. Who knows?
Yeah. That's on the short side. Like, it realistically, in the world we live in, it'll probably be the following spring.
Yeah. It's crazy. What about the rest of you guys? Carlos, you're the first one that said this shit ain't coming out for a while, too, man. Among Us.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it's going to come out till fall of next year, and then I'm even dubious of that.
I think it might be, like Brett said, spring of 2022, you know?
Because you don't just get a new lead, and, you know, I might be confusing it with something else, but didn't they say on the press release that they're just working out the kinks?
I don't know, man, because now with this whole Joe Staten guy coming back,
it infuriates me because they said they blame this on the fucking Rona, but somehow the Rona forces you to get another tech lead.
Right?
Like, it's so crazy.
We all know the Rona is a bullshit.
Well, maybe the main person got sick and then they need to get somebody to replace him. Can't come to work, so they need somebody.
Nobody can come to work, bro.
Adam, that's the only time the law of they got to have something does not apply. Yeah. They didn't have anything. They didn't have a working game. They had Craig.
They had Craig. That's all they had.
It's crazy, man. I just don't get it. Like this game was supposed to release this year. They were supposed to release in like 2 months. And now they're getting a new lead designer. But no, don't worry, guys. We're just working out the kinks here. So don't worry. We're just getting a new head chief here, a new head honcho on this game. But just because we're working out the kinks because of the Rona.
You know?
I'm going to have to quote Chris. Tea leaves are right there.
Yes, right, man.
At very best, this game's going to come out fall of 2021. At the very best.
Yeah, fall of 2021, but it could be spring of 2022, you know?
Yeah, I think so. Those two time frames look plausible.
Yeah. As for the other part of the question, there's a whole Throwdown Clips episode that it's either out or it's about to be out. But, you know, again, you can just watch episode 299 of Throwdown. We talked about how, and we kind of somewhat agree that Halo is past its prime. It's not as relevant as it used to be because Call of Duty just took over, you know? And Call of Duty just changed everything, you know? Remember, back in the day, it was all about, we got to make the Halo killer. Then Call of Duty came and killed Halo, you know? And nothing has yet to kill Call of Duty, you know? As far as first-person shooters go. So there you have it, man. All right, moving on. The question I'm going to toss in right now, so I don't have the Chiron for it. Mr. Upper Room UK, do y'all think cross-gen will kill Halo regardless? I'm not sure if I understand the question exactly. Like,
what is he talking about?
By the way, it's AK, not UK.
AK, oh, I thought UK, okay. My bad. Was that Arizona, Arkansas, or whatever? Or maybe it could be a gun, you know?
Or it could be a gun.
Yeah, it could be a gun. He's in the room. If you could explain the question a little bit more, you know, that would help.
And your name too.
Yeah, and yeah, what does the AK stand for, man? Yeah, Deuce, we're going to get to your question soon, in a little bit, even though I think we've answered that one before. But we'll get to that in a while. So yeah, Halo, you know, again, I think what happened with Halo is, you know, the 343, they knew what was going on with that game. They knew that shit wasn't ready. But the executives, the higher ups, they're like, nope, it's Halo. Get that shit out there. You know, people are going to love it. They love Halo. And, you know, these guys are living in a box and shit, not realizing nobody cares anymore, you know? He says, do you think Halo be on Xbox One will kill it regardless? You mean like in terms of holding it back? We already said that's a bad idea, having games across all systems like that, you know? Like, Halo should be, you know, in my opinion, it should be purely a next-gen game. But Microsoft already came out and confirmed that it's going to be on Xbox One regardless, even with all the changes coming, you know? He says AK is from his old clan name back in the 360 days. All right. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Dan answered that. So we'll move on. We can answer this one's quick. Do it. Deuce asks, what's your take on the online gaming virtual events? We actually answered that on a recent episode. We gave our thoughts on it. I forgot what episode it was, but it was one of the more recent ones. And we all agreed. It's like, yeah, these things are it's frustrating because you get like little bits of news, kind of insignificant news sprinkled out throughout the entire summer, as opposed to getting 1 week of compressed news. And I'm saying this as a guy who originally said we don't need E3 anymore. No, we do need fucking E3, as this summer of gaming has proven. You know, it's like, Jesus, no. This is, because again, you know, you read it on paper, right? You're like, oh shit, a whole summer worth of E3. That's what you're thinking in your head, right? Like, that's gonna be crazy. Every fucking week, bombs, 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 bombs. No. It's all dispersed, it's all distilled, you know. Mm-hmm. So
it makes me wonder, though, after all this, and hopefully next year we're in a different situation and we can go back to normal in a way, will a lot of these studios go back? Because think about it, they've saved a lot of money right now doing this. So yeah, they had to tweak some things and have everything be presented online and do that whole scheduling issue. But when it comes financially, they have to be saving a lot of money, especially when it comes to display setting up and moving things around and venue rentals and so all that. So I'm sure at the end of the day, when they look back and say, well, did this work out in the long run? And did we save money? Did we spend more money? And if the numbers add up, we may never see some of these companies go back to the traditional way of doing live events. They may just say, you know, fuck it, we'll just do this. This worked. It worked last year and it'll work this year. This is the new norm. Sort of like what we see with movie theaters, where movies saying, like Universal saying, you know what? Yeah, we'll eventually go back to theaters, but we're also going to go keep going with VODs, and we're going to do that 3 weeks after they launch in theaters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they said they're shortening that window. They used to wait 3 months.
3 months, now yeah.
Like 3 weeks.
Man, now. 3 months, that's crazy. I remember back in the day, bro, that video used to take a year, you know?
Well, movies used to stay in theaters for almost a year.
Yeah.
That was the crazy shit. Now we got Rocky coming back. Get ready. He's doing a director's cut. Stallone announced it. Rocky 4.
I remember waiting a whole year for Terminator 2 to come out on tape, bro. Going, because again, we didn't know when the fuck these things came out, you know? So I would go to the store like every week, like, yo, it's Terminator 2 and Terminator 2.
Well, let's see how far back do you remember when it was RKO that used to sell those tapes?
RKO, like, oh, bringing it back.
They used to cost almost like $100 for a VHS tape. You pay $100 for a fucking movie. I'm like, what the hell? That's why it was like a godsend when mom and pop video rental shops popped up. Because I'm like, oh, right, $2 and I could rent this shit. I don't have to go. And then eventually they would get the movies with take years to get on HBO, and then if you had a VCR, you can record them.
Yeah,
you know, and that was
that's the way right, man.
This is why I worked at Blockbuster.
Yeah, there you go.
I got to take home 5 video games a week.
That's awesome. Shout out to the Throwdown Crickets, as always.
Okay.
All right, man. Let's move on. We are up to Mr. Frankie B. Let's see if I got this shit right. This one set off a firestorm. So I actually asked this on Twitter and nobody could give me an answer. So maybe you throw it and I can answer it. How come, this is from Frankie B, how come we haven't seen anything running on Xbox Series X?
Didn't they do like the...
No, they were on PCs. They were all on PCs.
What, even the Gears thing?
The Gears things, they said, were all running on high-end PCs. Because with the Forza 2, people wanted to know. They said it was in-engine, but the engine is not in a Series X. It's like what they're developing. It was when they showed the first go-around of gameplay and stuff. It's like, oh, this is the tech it's built, but it's not.
Yeah, because at first I thought the games that they showed during the third-party thing were running on Series X, but turns out they actually weren't. They were just spec'd to be like Series X.
Yeah. So I'm
like,
that's what they were saying for those specs.
So, I don't know why we haven't seen any games running on the Xbox Series X, which is weird, you know? We've seen Xbox One games running on Xbox Series X, but not Series X games running on Series X, if those even exist.
We know it has existed because Digital Foundry received one of those Series X units.
Remember I'm talking about Xbox Series X games, like games that were like...
I know. Yeah. There's got to be games that work on it if the hardware is put together. There's got to be a way to just put in a game, whether it's a digital version or a physical disc, just to run a test. So I'm sure somewhere they're being played.
Yeah. Upper Room AK says, Haven and the Medium, he believes, are running on Series X during Gamescom. By the way, that's Gamescom. You guys didn't ask us about that. What a fucking waste of time that was, you know? But yeah, I don't know. I don't know why we haven't seen more games running on it. We've seen plays. Say what you want about PlayStation 5. We've seen games running on this shit. You know, very interesting. So, what do you guys think, man?
I don't know. I'm part of the Twitter poll. I don't know. They haven't showed anything. I'm kind of surprised by this question because I literally don't know, because PlayStation, every time they always tout it. It's like, oh, only like running on a PlayStation. Ratchet and Clank, the demo, they had that at the beginning. It's like running on a PlayStation 5. Even the Unreal 5 tech demo did it. But yeah, X Series X, I don't know if there, it could be possible. Curious to know if someone actually knows this.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I put the question out there and nobody said anything. I mean, they were like, no. A couple of fucking memes and shit, obviously, yes, Xbox. But... I'm at a loss for words, man. It's just like, hey, how come we haven't seen any gameplay of Miles Morales yet, bruh? Very, very strange that we haven't seen that. But I don't want to delve into conspiracy theories because we could come up with a bunch of those. Let me see. But you guys in the chat can speculate all you want. Upper Room AK says, the power must not be as impressive as they made us believe. Possible. Who was that? Dude the Third. What's going on, brother? He goes, I thought Phil took one home. Eh. I don't know why you find that so funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
I just imagine Phil Spencer with a fucking Xbox Series X under his arm running away and shit.
Can't play shit.
But he didn't.
Can't play shit.
Do you remember? It was on
Twitter. Oh, see, he asked that. He asked us, was he playing on it?
But it was on Twitter. It was on Twitter where Uncle Phil wound up posting up that he had one at home. He said, yeah, I just got one home and playing it now. It's amazing.
What's he playing on it?
I can't wait. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. He said, I can't wait for everyone else to get their hands on this. So he said he finally got his version home. So it's out there.
Like, is he playing Hellblade? Like, what the fuck is he playing on his shit, you know?
Probably early shit.
Yeah. It's interesting, man. All right, we'll move on to the next question. This one is from Roman Ronin. First question. Ooh, all right. In terms of games that have been around since the PS2, Xbox, GameCube generation, is Ratchet & Clank a top 10 franchise, a top 5, or even a top 3? And here's the reason he's asking this. Halo came out during the same generation, yet I never expected in this crazy year that is 2020 that a Ratchet and Clank game would be generating as much buzz going into a new console generation compared to one of Microsoft's legendary titles, whether for good or bad. Ratchet and Clank games have been incredibly consistent, surpassing its PS2 brethren, Jak and Sly Cooper. I agree there have been one or two low points, but I'm not saying the games have been ambitious or revolutionary as the GTA, Zelda, or Metal Gear series, but Ratchet & Clank is absolutely one of Sony's most consistent and reliable franchises. He goes, I just remember God of War also came out on PS2. That doesn't change what I laid out above. You know, what I like about this question is I didn't think about it. I said, Ratchet & Clank has always been there, always been well-received, but it's never really blown up, you know? Then they showed the new footage on Friday. Everybody went fucking nuts, you know? And then I thought about, compared to, Halo, I'm like, oh, shit. Halo, huge franchise, changed the industry, right? Look at how it's being received compared to Ratchet and Clank. Very interesting. I'm really glad you asked this question, Roman, because I'm like, oh, wow, that's how times have changed. You know, you got the little guy down there just chilling in the cut. Now he's rising above, and then you got the big guy, the big dog, being brought down, you know?
Yeah, but they both, during the same time, had bad movies or TV shows. Remember Halo had a bad one, then the Ratchet and Clank movie. That was horrible.
Yep. Go ahead, Brett. Oh.
He's getting attacked by a dog.
He's getting attacked by, he got to cut his mic off.
Yeah, I heard something going on. I was like, get on the floor. What? Oh.
All right, bro, you jump in when you can, man. But yeah, that's all. Yo, that's crazy. Like, Halo, again, Halo was this huge fucking franchise. You couldn't get away from Halo. Halo 3, top of the food chain. Nobody's fucking with Halo. How to make Halo killers, all that, yeah,
but,
you know?
But think about it. You're also talking about the 360 era. None of that happened during Xbox One.
Yeah, no, you're Halo, right. It was Halo 1 and 2.
Of, yeah, but none obviously, of the titles that they released on this one.
But let's be real, though. Halo.
I guess this is going to happen.
Oh, go ahead, Brett. Go ahead, Ben.
Dude, I mean, it's inevitable. It's. I have yet to see Halo is a first-person shooter, and while I've seen them maintain, I've never seen them reinvent and or reinvigorate. Meanwhile, platformers, cutesy, cartoony, main protagonists, available to all ages, it's begging to be reboot and put in the center spotlight. So eventually, just looking at the equation, you can tell the scales are going to tip. I mean, unless I'm wrong, like tell me a shooter that has reinvented itself as good or better than its original. I mean, the best I can think of is Gears, and that's maintained. I don't think it's necessarily gotten better.
Well, you know, as we talked about, the game that actually killed the Halo franchise, Call of Duty, that reinvented all FPS games. You know, every FPS game is now in the mold of Call of Duty.
And it maintains, but do you think...
It does maintain, yeah.
Do you think Call of Duty will ever see something bigger than its heyday?
It's been hitting the numbers, though. This Warzone has been killing it financially. They've been fucking...
Yeah, that's the thing, Brett. It's like the heyday hasn't gone away yet, you know?
Yeah, it's still there. I mean, they're talking about...
It's still the biggest selling game every single year consistently for the last 10 years.
Yes.
Outside of GTA, obviously.
I would agree, but yeah. I would be curious to see like a kind of per capita breakdown in the sense that how much has Fortnite taken out? Like, it used to be nothing. Like, Call of Duty reigned supreme.
Free, so who knows? I mean,
it makes a lot of money, bro.
I know, yeah. But then when you got Call of Duty that is charging 60 and making all the money from the battle passes and all that stuff.
I agree, but I'm saying Call of Duty used to be the not just the undisputed, but the only real behemoth. Like, oh, you could play Battlefield, but it was Call of Duty. It was Call of Duty fucking all day long.
I gotta say, it's a different
now it's sharing that stage. I don't think so.
I agree with Brett. I agree with Brett. Fortnite is a fucking monster right now, bro.
It is, but it's a different audience. It's a different type of game.
But the thing, and Brett, correct me if I'm wrong here, but when it came to online shooting games, Call of Duty was the only one for years. Nobody was touching that
shit. That's a first person shooter.
We're talking about shooters in general right now. We're talking about shooters in general, you know?
Yeah,
like you can't deny the Fortnite.
There's plenty of other games. Then I wouldn't put that. No, you can throw that in anything. Then there's plenty of other games that jump into that.
What else is hitting Fortnite levels right now, dude? Besides Call of Duty,
that other fucking game that on the PC, the one for Steam that we were talking about before, that has all those Dota and has all those crazy tournaments, or that Overwatch. That
Dota. No, none of those guys are Call of Duty big.
Exactly. Yeah, they're not Call of Duty. Not on this.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, nobody.
Fortnite either.
Hold on.
Anybody in the chat, do you play Fortnite and Call of Duty? Like, do you see them?
Do you not see how Fortnite has just taken over everything? Like,
It doesn't matter. No, because
are you kidding me right now?
You got FIFA. FIFA takes a big chunk of a player's suit. That doesn't compare to Call of Duty. That's a different realm. I consider Fortnite a different realm. You don't put that next to a Call of Duty.
You can consider a different realm where you want. It's all gaming, and Fortnite is fucking huge, bro. Come on now.
Yeah, but I don't see how this impacts Call of Duty in any way. It's obviously
financially. You're missing the point. You're missing the point.
I do see it, though. Right now, I think, you know, Call of Duty has its core set of fans that are diehards and are going to be diehards for a while. Call of Duty. What Fortnite is doing is it's captivating and it's cultivating a new generation of gaming fans, of gamers. You know, a lot of these Fortnite people used to be casual gamers or non-gamers. Their friends are playing it. You know, it's one of the most popular games for kids. My nephews play it. You know, it's so many people play it, and it's like it's a zeitgeist game.
That's even what I'm talking about.
Even more so than
Call of Duty.
Fortnite is bigger than Call of Duty now.
Dude, Adam, your whole point is Adam.
You said it was hitting into Call of Duty, and it's not.
We didn't say it's hitting.
Adam, your point is you can't ask if somebody plays both as a way to try and judge your experiment, because
I'm not asking if anybody plays both. You said it. You said that they were playing more Fortnite from Call of Duty.
He didn't say that.
Fortnite cut into Call of Duty's market share. Yes, it did. It's the free fucking shooter that.
They're going into what he just said. It's the free. The people that just want to jump in a game that's free, and they'll download it because it's free. They're getting into that.
Who plays? Who plays Call of Duty? And when you play Call of Duty, you play matches over and over and over again in a competitive mode in your free time. What does that sound like? Oh, that sounds like fucking Fortnite. I don't care that one is third person, one is first person.
Sounds like a lot of games.
Exactly. There are games that go intentionally for that time killing game. That game they want you to spend time with and kind of turn off your brain and just run 6 hours through the game. It's an activity game. I've talked about activity games before. Both Fortnite and Call of Duty are shooter activity games, the kind where you meet your friends online after school, right? They do share some of the same market.
A lot of games do, though. That's so general. Come on now.
A lot of games do, but none of them are as big as Fortnite. And that's my point.
Apex, nobody plays that shit.
Yeah, dude, back in the day, it used to be Call of Duty on pedestal 1, 2, and 3. Gold, bronze, gold, silver, bronze. It was Call of Duty, and Call of Duty.
That's right.
It is not that way anymore.
And Battlefield.
It's now Call of Duty, Fortnite, Battlefield.
Call of Duty, Fortnite.
Nobody gave a fuck about those compared to Call of Duty.
Nobody cared.
No, Adam. Whoa. So you're telling me that Battlefield was on the same level as Call of Duty when it came to like player base and money generation? Come on, bro. Get out of here with that.
They tried. That's what I'm saying.
They tried. But they failed. That's the point,
But that's what
Fortnite is the only game that matches Call of Duty now or surpasses it.
They can match, but it's not taking the audience. That's what I kept saying.
I never got to the end of my point. Like, it's not taking the audience right now, but Fortnite, like I said, it's captivating and it's cultivating a younger audience right now, where Call of Duty's audience is going to age out. It's going to be an old people game like Halo was.
Yeah, we'll see. People always like guns. This is America.
Yeah, well, that's why Fortnite's doing so well.
People like guns and Michael Jackson dances. Yeah. Fortnite's got both.
That's it.
You do got some Michael Jackson dances.
Listen, just because we don't play Fortnite, we can't deny its power, bro. It's fucking behemoth.
I never denied the power. I just said that it's not the same audience. That's it. That's all I said.
I freaking hate, and hear me with this.
Uh-oh.
I freaking hate what Fortnite is doing in the industry. Because Fortnite is a casual, you know, it's a layman's game.
Let Carlos finish. Then you go, Brett.
It doesn't move the industry forward. It does what it does. It's a microtransaction based game, and there is hardly any innovation, technical wise or gameplay wise. It just added the create barrier mode and. You know, kept and get resources, which you can find on a lot of other games. And it just did it on a simple package that looks like a cartoonish game. And they get advertisements from, you know, Travis Scott, Marvel, all of these companies. And that's how they get people. You know, they're all events and they're zeitgeist events. And it crosses over. The Venn diagram between popular culture and Fortnite is so fucking huge that they don't have to innovate in the game. Halo with Bungie, when they were at the top of the game, they were innovating. They were innovating every iteration, whether it's multiplayer, online co-op, you know, Forge mode, Firefight, even though that's a Horde mode ripoff, but they still innovated on that. And then 343 brought it to the ground. But that's what they do. Call of Duty stays pretty much the same, but at least I can give them that they try really hard on those single player campaigns. They do innovate in a lot of ways that way. I mean, it's less so than all the other games, but Fortnite is just at the lowest common denominator in terms of innovation. They got this niche that they know people are sticking to, that they're tied to, and they're going to run with it. And people, this is, you know, think about it like this. My game,
so do you think it's going to hurt them that they're not on iOS and Android and that whole thing?
Well, that's a different question. That's my bad. That, yeah.
No, because I mean, that cuts away from their audience. If you're saying audience is hardcore and they're going to stick, they're going to have to find another way to stick to it.
It's going to hurt them. I don't know if it's going to kill them at the end, but it's definitely, I mean, it doesn't help being on the biggest platform, one of the biggest platforms out there. Yeah, it's definitely going to hurt. But at the end of the day, like you talked about how the COD people couldn't play Call of Duty on PSN because PSN was down. So they got an Xbox.
When was that?
These Fortnite people, we talked about that like 10, 20 minutes ago.
We did?
Yeah. Yeah. The Fortnite people.
I don't remember that. What was Call of Duty down? When did that happen?
Rewind the tape.
Rewind.
Yeah, so if Fortnite is this big of a game, people are going to find a way to play it.
Call of Duty was down?
Dude, Adam. Do you realize that when you're talking about Call of Duty, you're talking about like the outlier? Call of Duty is not the king anymore. Fortnite is.
I don't care who's king. I'm talking about audiences, if they cross over or not. That's all. He just confirmed it. He said the same thing. Call of Duty has its hardcore audience and people that like to play, and obviously that's in the millions, and they're still there. Those people are still there. That's all I agree with. That's it. That's all I said. Yeah, okay, I didn't shit on Fortnite. I said it's a different audience.
But you don't see how that has changed their market share. You don't see how that's different from
back then. Everything can change. Yeah, I'm sure some people, because of the younger audience that would normally go to a $60 game, now go to a free game. All you have to do is click a few buttons on your phone. Well, before you did, and then you download it. Now you got the game.
That was my point.
But now you got Call of Duty, which also has this mobile game. I don't know the numbers, but that shit's also free. And it's doing the same type of thing. So who knows? In fact, let me look that up. What's up with the Call of Duty mobile game?
All right, man. Let's move on, man. Interesting conversation, though. Am I even ready for the next question? Fuck. This one I wish Chris was here for. But we'll do our best. Next question from Mr. Roman Ronan. Hypothetically speaking, name one thing Nintendo can do this holiday season to capitalize on gamers' frustrations with the rollout of the next-gen consoles. Yeah, one of the things that I've been hearing is that Nintendo is apparently not going to have any big games this fall. Like, I could be wrong, but that's what I'm hearing from Nintendo fans. They're frustrated with Nintendo, too. The thing is, you know, speaking about different audiences, you know, Nintendo guys are different than, you know, other guys, you know, like average gamers or hardcore gamers. So it's like the blue ocean. So I don't think what Nintendo does or what the other systems do affects Nintendo and vice versa. So I don't think they need to do anything, you know. They're kind of just coasting right now. If you think about it, you know, they're selling what, like 60 million consoles already. All their games are still doing hot, you know, so Nintendo doesn't actually need to do anything for this holiday season. Maybe they'll whip out something. Who the hell knows? I don't really keep up with Nintendo like that to know, but I do know that apparently they're not going to have anything this fall, which is really interesting. But, you know, they didn't have anything last fall either. And, you know, still blew up. And as a matter of fact, think about this. Didn't they have one direct where they literally just announced a game and it fucking dropped that day or something like that, or the week afterwards, and it went fucking nuts. I think it was a Paper Mario game or something, you know. So maybe they'll do something like that, you know. But, you know, as this podcast has taught me, best not for me not to predict anything Nintendo, because I'll be wrong every single time. I don't understand that fucking audience. I don't understand the user base. I don't understand their business practices. So whatever, you know. What about the rest of you guys? Do you think Nintendo's going to pull out something to, you know, offset the consoles coming out this fall? Come on, guys.
I don't see anything. No, I'm reading because I just looked up. I saw the 250 million downloads for that Call of Duty free mobile game, their thing. But when it comes to Nintendo, they got to have something.
Hey, there we go. There we go. 56 minutes and 29 seconds.
It has to. It'll probably be something cheesy, like a remake or something, or maybe the one game that we all thought was going to show up and never did, and it's that Metroid that Metroid remastered shit that they did on a 3DS. Remember?
Well, that'd be nice. That'd be nice.
Like, oh, eventually that'll come. That'll eventually come.
They,
that was over a year ago.
They never said that. They never said that.
They didn't. People said that. I'm saying people said
that. That means that's not going to happen. Motherfuckers been talking about how GTA 5 is coming up.
Because we look at all other. No, that's different. GTA wasn't there before. That was on 3DS. We're talking about this Metroid game that was already on 3DS. That Metroid Returns that they did. And they're like, oh, well, that's going to come over. Got Puyo Puyo did it, and Puyo Puyo came over. So, yeah, they're just going to give a time delay. No time delay. It's been, like, what, 2 years now? That shit ain't ever coming. So I'm assuming it's going to be something cheesy like that, because that's something that they could definitely just port over. Don't tell me it's going to take a fucking full year to remaster and figure out how to get that shit to work from the 3DS.
Huh? Yeah. All they need to do is release that Nintendo Anniversary Edition where they're, like, talking about re-releasing
Sunshine and all that.
Sunshine 64.
Yeah, and that's all. Right. Piggy Dan just said that in the chat. He's like, they could release the remasters of the Mario games. You know what? That would actually probably be enough for the Nintendo fans.
Oh yeah,
that'd be enough.
Dude, Nintendo fans don't need that much. Like, I genuinely and honestly don't understand how this is a foreign concept, people. Especially you, Tony, because you give that same grace to Sony that you think is so weird that people give to Nintendo. Sure.
No, but here, let me explain myself, though. I don't get those games. That's the thing. I understand the loyalty to these franchises. I get it. I just don't like those franchises. So why I don't get it. Understand?
It's kind of the antithesis of what you play games for. Like, you play games for stories. You play games for completionist. You're very detail-oriented. Nintendo games are pretty much activities. They're just always their main idea is to be fun. Every moment you should be playing it should be fun. Not that there's a way to sacrifice something.
Uh-oh, something happened. Yeah, the cat. Something happened with his... Yo, by the way, for you guys who were listening, Brett just had to run across his room and throw his cat off of something.
Oh, fucking knock it over a ceramic dragon. Get the fuck out of here.
Get the whip. See, that's why I had to close my door. I got to close the door because the cat would be doing the same shit. Yeah. Close the door.
Only you see, hey, listen, when you watch Throwdown Live, man, you see some crazy shit.
I think Manny's cat is the only one that just stands and like sits in the
Yeah,
the
Manny's cat is chilling, you know?
He just watches. It sees what he's doing. It's like, he's just looking at that screen. What the fuck? What's wrong with him?
Think about it. In the cat's eyes, Manny's doing what he's always doing. He's just talking during it, you know? No, you're right. But so I understand the attachment to franchises. I just don't understand the attachment to those franchises. But like you said, they're not Tony games, you know? I like games that actually, you know, look like they're for adults, you know?
So here's a question with that to Carlos, because you were talking about people aging out with Call of Duty. Now, these Nintendo titles are much older than Call of Duty.
Well, again, Nintendo fans are different.
They're different, but they're going to die. They're all going to die. So unless these guys, these parents, it's true. That's just the way it is. They're going to fucking croak. And they're all getting into that. At this point, they're my age group of when that launched. We were there when it launched. Nintendo first go around 84, 85. So we're in our 40s. So eventually when we phase out, if it's our generation is not passing that knowledge down to the younger ones, then they're all going to just say, fuck that. We're going to stick with Fortnite and the games that we've been playing. And we're not going to play your damn Kirby bullshit and Fat Plumber Guy. What's up with the Fat Plumber Guy? You know what? That is very socially insensitive right now. And I'm not buying into that shit. They're going to have a whole different take on Mario and all these games. So do you think that's going to happen? Do you think that's going
to
phase out?
The thing is, I, you know, Carl, sorry to cut you off, but I'm like, yo, Nintendo fans are like, at least from what I see, yeah, there are guys like our age, but most of the Nintendo fans I see are like in their 20s and shit, you know, early 30s. So, you know, they keep bringing in new audiences every generation. So they're doing pretty well right now. And again, let's just be real here, because their characters are iconic. That's why.
Iconic if they're being passed around. Iconic because of someone that's telling them. They don't have a TV show. They don't have, you know, constant toys coming out, shit that's always in your face. Then it's different. But for example, my kid is in that early stage. She's, you know, 8 years old. She hangs out with her little friends. They do play games. They're into video games. But the games they're playing are that the Minecraft. What's that other one that I told you about? That box shit that you know about.
Roblox. Yeah.
These are the games that they're living on. And I was like, oh, what about Mario? I've tried them. I mean, they have a 3DS. Yeah. She didn't play any shit. She'll play Cooking Mama. and other things on it. But the Mario games and the Luigi and all this stuff, that's not interested.
But that's your daughter, though, you know?
That's her group of friends also, because I'm like, your friends are playing games too. Well, are they playing? Are they playing this new Mario game?
The Odyssey? Well, I mean, maybe you can make a case for maybe that generation specifically may not care, but like, I'm, you know, again, just, you know, from my end, I know that's anecdotal to, you know, 20-year-olds, even late teenagers, they still play these Nintendo games just based off of the memories they remember when they were kids, you know?
That's us. I could have a teenager. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. It's still my generation, our generation passing in over. Now it's up to that generation to try to
spread it. That's right. Yeah, yeah, the teenagers and all that.
Because they're already going to move on to, like you said, Fortnite and all those other bullshit that these kids are going to be playing then.
Yeah, no, by the way, I'm going to take it off the rails a little bit because we still got a full time. Adam, you know, that hit me like a truck, man, like 4 years ago, man. Like when I realized how old I was, let me explain, right? So 4 years ago, yeah, 3 or 4 years ago, my niece stayed with me, right? She was like 14 at the time, right? And I would go out with her and people were like, yo, Tony, what the fuck? When did you have a daughter? You know? And in my mind, I'm like, I'm too young to have a daughter. What are they saying? And then I thought about it. I go, Tony, no. I was 36 at the time. I'm like, Tony, not only were you old enough to have a daughter, but you could have had her the right way. You know, you finished college and shit. You got a job. Respond like, fuck. You know, because in my head, I'm fucking 20, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
And Adam, I know you think the same way, too. You're still the same motherfucker in your head, you know?
Hey, fuck. What the fuck? I just finished telling you I bought a bunch of fucking wrestling action figures on eBay. I'm a fucking loser with my kids. I pass it along. That's how I get
them. That shit was hilarious. I'm walking around with her like, yo, Tony, when you have a daughter, bro? Because she's my sister's daughter. She looks like me, you know? I'm like, daughter, I'm too fucking young to have a kid. I'm like, oh, wait, no, I'm not. Because my sister's younger than me and she had her. You know? Oh, man. Anyway, that's a non sequitur. But speaking of my generation, though, bringing it all back together, you know, I think it is, you know, Nintendo is a generational thing. It keeps going and going. It's kind of like Batman, Superman. Those motherfuckers have been around for 80 years, but they keep going. New generations, you know?
You see, they throw it in your face constantly. We got the comics. We got the movies. We got the games. You know, especially with the movies and the cartoons. You got the constant cartoon reminder. Nintendo needs to jump on all that. And we heard they are, right? Aren't they doing
something? Oh, yeah. I mean, think about it. They released a Pokemon movie. They're going to make a new Mario movie, finally.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's Nintendo. Nintendo has... those characters are so iconic, they're not going to go anywhere, you know?
The theme park. They're making like a Mario theme park.
Yeah, theme park. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Yep. Can't read that shit. Otaku, man, what's going on, brother? We were going to have, by the way, again, we're going to have Mr. Andre Tipton on episode 300, throwing your questions. It's going to be a lot of fun. Do the third. I'm going to deny that. I can't put that shit on air, bro. Oh, man. What the hell were we even talking about? I forgot the question. All right.
Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I was like, they have to have something. They always
have something. Yeah, they'll have some.
Or they'll be cheesy. And then they're like, you know what? We'll listen to what people want for that service that they call a service. What do they even call it? Nintendo Online Service. Yeah. They have a name for it. Though. It's called some. Anyway, they have to bring something else out, like the N64 support or some GameCube games. Do something. Because right now, all we have is Nintendo and Super NES. I'm sure the Switch can handle more than that shit. You could definitely port over some GameCube games. Cut the bullshit. Give us something good.
Yeah, man. All right. Oh, shit. Hold on. Piggy Dan. Because he's our big Nintendo fan here. So let's see what he has to say. He goes, one major point that Nintendo fans are very upset about, me included, is the lack of substantial firmware UI improvements. He says the eShop has issues. We still lack themes and folders, gameplay invites, a feature that was added to the Switch via an update but was barely used. I think we talked about that before, too.
I'm going to ask him a question if he remembers. Because from when I had a 3DS at launch and continue to this day, I use it, but it took a long time. If he can remember this, it took at least a few years before we actually got those custom themes on a 3DS with the background music and all that stuff, right? Because I remember it was just colors for a while. Then they started doing actual artwork, and you could have full artwork and custom themes and buttons and stuff. It took a while for that. But I know it was a few years.
He said it took a few years. He said like three or so.
There you go. So I wonder if that's what they're doing, if they're going to wait that damn long, and then eventually we'll get that on the Switch because we know it can handle it. Why not just do it?
Yeah, I don't know. All right, let's move on, man. Next up, we got Mr. Johnny W. Uppercut. He goes, what's going on, Lords of the Throwdown? I like that name, man. The standard bearers of Throwdown. All right, his question is Gotham Knights and Suicide Squad, proof of AT&T slash WB's desperation to get constant cash to pay off some of their debt.
Proof is I'm telling DirecTV. That's proof. They're broke. They need to make some money. So,
is he trying to imply these games are desperate gambles or something? Because the Suicide Squad, again, Rock City was going to make another DC game. We already knew that. But the Gotham Knights one, that kind of smells a little funny, you know, like that they're trying it feels like they're trying to, you know, cash in on what Avengers is trying to do. It's like, we're going to make a, like a brawler game, you know, looter brawler game. I don't know what the name is, you know, looter shooter, the brawling version of a looter shooter. We're just trying to do that with superheroes. So that's why it smells a little iffy to me. Microtransaction heavy, season passes, that type of shit, you know? So that's why.
Didn't they come out and say that there's like no microtransactions in that?
Oh, did they say that?
Yeah, they came out and with like this whole thing saying that, oh yeah, don't worry, it's not like a looter shooter type game. It's just like a co-op game. Like, it's like you can still play the whole thing like
a single player. I didn't know that. Again, I just saw the video. I'm like, okay, there's another one of these fucking looter shooter games or looter brawler games, hero looters. I don't know, whatever fuck you want to call it. Okay, that's good to know. That's good to know. But yeah, I don't know. There's something about that game just rubs me the wrong way, man. You know,
I'm actually watching the trailer again now because I saw half of it. I was like, I don't think I've ever finished it.
Yeah. You're not missing much, you know. But I don't know if it's like a desperation play by AT&T. You know, AT&T is a terrible fucking company, man. I can't stand. I remember
they made really bad decisions.
Fucking, I remember I was on AT&T's plan, mobile plan, for like less than a week. I couldn't get reception in my own room, you know? Like, what kind of bullshit is it? And the price was mad high, too, on top of that.
That's a cell tower issue. But remember when they had Singular, and that was a whole big deal, and then they had to fucking put that down.
I remember that shit, you know? Anybody else want to jump in on this? Again, speculation, we don't really fucking know. I'm pretty sure Chris would have something to say, but whatever. Go ahead, Carlos.
No, I'm with you, man. I'm not even looking that too much forward to these games.
Yeah.
Well, here's the other comment I'm trying to figure. Maybe you guys can answer. This is all related. Is the DC Network dead? Is that it? Because I'm seeing that it's on HBO Max and it's also on regular TV, some of these shows, that Harley Quinn stuff. So is it dead then? What are they doing?
No, they haven't ported everything yet. There's still some stuff on DC Universe, I think it's called.
Yeah, DC Universe. But it's like, what, $5-$6? I don't even know. Maybe
it's still... Or? It's still a subscription service. Yeah. I think what they're going to do is transition it to HBO Max, but currently there are stuff on DC Universe that is exclusive to that platform.
So it's phasing out pretty much, right? It's not growing. It sounds like it's phasing out.
I mean, it's not definitive, but I think that's what they're going to do. Cuz HBO Max is going to be the hub for everything. Everything WB, everything whatever they'll state.
All right, man. Next question, Johnny W. Uppercut. All right, do you guys know any developers who could make a great next generation supernatural game? He goes, for me, Black Myth Wukong has potential, but I already know it is not coming out anytime soon. Black Myth Wukong is not a supernatural game per se. It's like a God of War type of game or whatever.
It's weird. It's like a fantasy mixed with like old historical fantasy game.
Yeah, because it's based off of the Monkey King story, Journey to the West.
The Kingdom, the one that, remember that movie? What was it? Jet Li and Jackie Chan. Remember they did one like that?
The story's been adapted a million times. What's the name of it? Black, I can't look at the name. Black, whatever, Wukong. I saw everybody losing their minds, including Manny. Manny was like, oh, shit, look at that. You know, even Torrance, you know, our boy Torrance went so far as to say that's the first next-gen looking game he saw. I don't know. You know.
Well, he's not exactly wrong. I mean, again, the Epic Game thing was a demo of whatever the hell that was. It was effectively something less than Deep Down. So I guess Torrance is right in that aspect. You know, it is. First next gen game we have actually seen.
Yeah.
So Brian's they gotta have something as a Deep Down reference. It's all.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The game looks cool, but you know, but it's a personal thing. I don't really care about Chinese mythology. You know, what's up, Brian?
What Why are you hating, Tony?
I'm not hating. Why he said it doesn't look interesting. I'm like, whatever. Why are you hating, Tony?
It looks really good. Like, aesthetically, it looks really, really good.
I will say this. The fur on that wolf looked very good. That was very impressive looking fur.
Kind of remind me a little bit of Mononoke.
Yo, Brian, remind me off air. I'm going to tell you the real reason. I'm like, I don't know about that game, but I can't say that.
You don't have to tell us in the post.
I don't want to support, if you know what I mean, you know? But I'll play it. But
Something to say, but I really can't say that on air.
Yeah, I listen, all I'm saying is, I'll stop.
All right, next question.
Oh, the post show's going to be great.
Adam, mind for your pets.
What the fuck? Oh, no. Next question, we didn't even answer this one.
What the fuck?
Damn, Adam's a supernatural game right now. Look at this dude, yeah, man. Here's the thing. I'm going to let you guys answer because, I'll be honest, I don't play supernatural games. I don't care about that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, you do, and I got the easiest one, Remedy. Oh,
Remedy? Is that Oh, yeah, that is a supernatural game, isn't
Control,
it?
Control, Alan Wake, those are all supernatural.
I didn't play Alan Wake, so Control's the only one then.
Quantum Break.
Right, you play Quantum
is that
Break.
Super, yeah, that is supernatural. Yeah, let's define supernatural, because to me, supernatural is Ghost, you know?
There's more than that.
Ghost, good.
You know, spirits, it's Ouija boards and all that shit. Yeah, it gets it all.
Yeah, it is Ghost then.
Spirit. I don't know why, but I expected in Adam fashion he's gonna say, you know, spirits, Ouija boards,
phantoms. You know,
sleeping
Beyond Two Souls. That's another supernatural game. But we're trying to name developers that could make a good next gen one. Again, I don't know.
You guys need to go over the Epic Game Store, and if it's worth downloading. I'm hearing questionable things about the store, and I just got the new computer, and I can definitely get into PC gaming. More desirable exclusives being on the Epic Game Store only on PC, like Rocket League, very soon would force me to eventually install the Epic app.
What's going on now?
I'm on Epic Store right now. Now, because I had to get my free games. Every Thursday, they release free games. And this one now is Siege. That's a Tom Clancy game. And Hitman. And every week, it's free. So just sign up and just download it, whether you want to use
Resident Evil is not supernatural. Those are biological-based zombies.
They're more science fiction
It's a sci-fi game, really, you know?
Yeah.
Which developers do you think can make really cool supernatural games for next-gen?
You actually don't get that many supernatural games.
No, we don't.
It's hard to say. Fuck it. Kojima. Just give it to him.
Sure.
Everything always boils down to two things. Silent Hills and Batman versus Superman. Now, where you start off with, you always end up in one of those two places. So yeah, give it to Kojima, make Silent Hills.
I can't argue with that. Well, I got a lot of hate with my tweet about Batman versus Superman the other day, bro.
Yeah, from me.
Yeah, that's true. You know, the funny thing is, I said actually because I did two tweets about it because you know the whole Snyder Cut's been on my mind. So I said I can't hold in anymore. I got to speak my truth. I'm gonna probably lose followers, but I got to speak my truth. Batman vs Superman is a terrible film. I gained like 50 followers. They're like, no, you're right, man. The movie's trash, bro. Oh man. All right, so yeah, supernatural games are very difficult because they don't even make a lot of them now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Remedy, Kojima, those are good picks, I think.
Oh, before I forget, I should say spooky games. Japanese make a lot of supernatural games, you know? Yeah. Scary shit.
I mean, even something like Yakuza has supernatural aspects.
I'm going to go with Brian on this one. Kojima.
Well, the scary movies are like that, too.
Oh,
The Grudge, The Ring.
Oh, there's tons of those.
Yeah, movies. Old Piggy Dan, that's been my thing with Epic Games Store since day one. Don't get me wrong, I still get the games, and I'm like, what's the catch? There's got to be a catch eventually. All these free games, what's the catch here, bruh?
The catch is they just want subs. That's the catch. You have to sign up. You have to sign up, and that's an email address, so fuck it.
I feel like one day we get a knock on the door that, yo, Tony, man, about all those free games you downloaded from us? Time to pay.
Speaking of Supernatural, you're going to show up on your door.
They're going to show up with pineapple pizza, you know?
Tim Sweeney's going to show up with a pineapple pizza.
Oh, God.
He's going to force you to sign a petition to get their freaking app on the iOS.
Yeah.
Man, for some, you see the devs are gone too now from there. Yeah.
For some reason, Todd Howard's behind him. It's like, what's he doing here, man?
And why is your hair so impeccable?
Right? Look at that hair, man. Shit, what you use on it, man? Can I touch it? All right, man, we're not going to get anywhere with this question. Let's move on. All right, a black metal gamer. All right, so this is one of his extra questions, but I made it a main question because this one is more timely. All right, which PlayStation games could you see coming to PC next? I have a theory about this, right? Because obviously PlayStation is going to be putting out their games on PC. They came out with a statement over the weekend saying, yeah, that's part of our business plan. We're going to be doing this. I think what you're going to see is, because people are already going, oh, day and date. It's going to be coming out day and date. They're not doing that. What I think you're going to be seeing a lot of for the first few years of the PlayStation 5, a lot of PS4 ports coming to PC. You're going to see a ton of those. It's going to be a very long time until we get a PS5 game on PC, and that ain't going to be day and date. You know, there's going to be outliers, obviously, like Death Stranding came out 6 months after it came out on, you know, on PS4, but then I think Horizon Zero Dawn is going to be more indicative of what we're going to see 3 or 4 years after the fact. You know, hopefully we'll get better quality games, because I hear Horizon Zero Dawn on PC is janky as fuck, you know, but take that as how you will. But yeah, PS4 games are going to be the main thing that are going to be dropping on PC within the next coming years. What do you guys have to say?
Last of Us 2.
Oh, that'll come.
That's it. That's what I'm thinking. I'm probably, just because it's still relevant. Yeah, they'll probably go through the back catalog and bring those over. But if they want to make some quick money, like, oh, you know, that exclusive we had just like last year. So you can play it now. There you go, on your PC.
I think even before that, I think Ghost of Tsushima would be.
You think Ghost of Tsushima, really?
Yeah, I think they'll bring Uncharted first, to be honest, start with those, because they're going to go with old games, man. They're not going to go anything recent.
I mean, if people want to play those, they could already play those through the PS Now on PC.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
I was about to mention PS Now. It's like, imagine people
expecting. That's right. Yeah.
I have buddies that played PS that only have PCs, and that's how they play those exclusives that are on PS Now.
Yeah.
They play it through that on PC.
But Sony has been putting their games on Steam, you know? Horizon Zero Dawn's on Steam.
Yeah.
And so I would find it really funny and ironic if they ever do day and date for these exclusive titles on PC and they don't have them available for PS Now.
Oh shit.
That would be funny.
That would be pretty funny, you know. And I'm being very specific when I say PS4 games. PS3 games ain't coming to PC. You know, though, they can't even get them on PS4. You think they get them on PC? Get out of here with that. That'd be something, though.
What about it with the re-owner?
Damn it, Carl. She's about to steal my joke. Goddamn joke.
Oh, man.
I was about to say that they're going to port the remastering engine to PC.
Yes.
I mean, the gift.
Install it with a new driver, you know?
Just install a new driver and you're good. Scalability, baby.
By the way, I find that whole thing against PC gaming so ridiculous. People go, oh, we got to install these drivers. You just hit update and you're done. That's all it takes.
That's not for all games. That's not for all games.
That's for GeForce, baby.
You know, GeForce. Case in point,
remember, I had that issue with Street Fighter V. And then I looked up online. That was a known issue for almost every NVIDIA card.
Damn.
So that was that's what I'm saying. There are some situations, yeah. And I did the GeForce Now, and I did all the other shit, and the GeForce Experience. I mean, did all the shit drivers and nothing, and still, and it was like eventually I had to go in the forum, I had to copy some configs, dump that into the game itself, just for that game to work. It wasn't a problem with the video card; it was something with the way that game was ported, and they never fixed the shit.
Yeah, well, that's an outlier. Most of the time, you just hit update and you're good to go.
And then the Batman game.
Fucked up. Arkham Knight. Yeah.
They had to pull that shit for a whole year. So shit happens. There's outliers. And they name titles too. And that can put a bad taste in people's mouths because they don't have that happening on console. You don't have Street Fighter saying, oh shit, this shit ain't working. Oh, what? Dark Knight's not working anymore. I guess I can never play it on my PlayStation. No,
you're right about that. Yeah, no, their problem with Street Fighter 5, they didn't have any content in the beginning.
Yeah,
did we just forget how janky No Man's Sky was on launch?
Yeah, that was true.
It's like
I didn't play that shit. I didn't play it.
Adam.
Yeah, you didn't play it, but
I did. Also, quite janky.
Quite a lot of other people also didn't play it because it was so janky.
Oh, I powered through that shit even before the patches, Brian. 60 well hours.
Done, Tony.
Yeah, hoping it would get better. It never did. It never did, Brian. Never did.
Did you find your friend's planet?
No. Nope.
Remember they said you could do it? Oh, you didn't do that?
No, I don't think they had friend's planet.
No, they're bullshit. They said that you could. Remember, they were like, oh, yeah, you can visit your friend's
planet. They said a lot of things.
They didn't have that at first. They put that in eventually, but they did not have that
at first.
They said it was multiplayer. It was not multiplayer. They said you could do all, you know, build all kinds of stuff. You could not build it. Like, they fulfilled, like, almost zero of their promises. It eventually turned into what I understand is a really cool game.
Yeah, that's all the things. Part. Yeah, unfortunately.
If they launched that game today, it would fucking kill it.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, you know, all the things they promised eventually came, but you guys know my stance. If you don't get that shit right at launch, I don't give a fuck. You know, you lost me. You only get one chance with me. All right, moving on to the next question from Mr. Black Metal Gamer. Which games with cliffhanger endings angered you the most? Or what about games that ended on a cliffhanger and never got a sequel? He says he's mad about God. He's mad that the new God of War didn't address how the ending of Part 3. Anyway, so yeah, what games had cliffhanger endings? And you're like, what the fuck?
I got the low hanging fruit. We did it recently, and I had to relive it. Is that Halo 2, man?
Oh, Halo 2. That's right, man. Finish the fight.
Got to finish. It's a freaking cliffhanger so popular Tony even knew about it.
That's it.
He even knew about it when, like, right before it was about to come up.
I knew it. It was like, they're going to say it. They said it.
They fucking said it. Yeah, man. The game was so hype, and it's like, damn, I just beat this freaking boss, and I'm about to go into Earth, deal some shit. Nah. Think again. Halo 3, baby.
That's it. To be continued, bruh.
Yep.
You know, I can't. Maybe I'm blanking. I'm pretty sure I've experienced this before. But the thing is, this didn't anger me, though. Like, God of War 2, that cliffhanger ending got me hyped. I was like, oh, shit. It's going to be crazy. You know? But that didn't get me mad. I can't really think of a game that got me angry. The cliffhanger ending got me mad. You know?
I mean, even the God of War, the recent God of War cliffhanger was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I was like, dope. Yeah, you were hyped, you know?
You're hyped, and you're satisfied with, you know, how the package game was, and you're completely understand.
I said, speak for yourself. I have beef with that game.
Oh, Brian, there you go. You found a friend.
Dude, like, when they show you the map and they're like, check out all these realms, and you're like, cool, so am I going to get to visit all these? And like, you're going to get to visit three of them. And you're like, but there's like eight fucking towers. And they're like, and you get to visit three of them. And you're like, is there a narrative reason for this? They're like, no, we might just want money later. Like, it didn't feel resolved in anything. It didn't feel like a resolve in the story. It didn't feel like a resolve in the world building. It just felt like half the game was absent. Like, why am I not visiting these other pillars? Why am I not continuing the story? Because it's a convenient time to stop and get $60 out of me. And honestly, it did the same shit that TV shows do. You know, actually, one thing I like doing? Stop a TV show 5 minutes before the ending. You're not going to get drawn into new conflict. The story is actually resolved. They're just setting up the plot for the next episode. If it's, you know, a serialized thing. So, yeah, fucking stop 5 minutes early, and you won't have that crave and that itch to be like, what the fuck is going on? Then when you pick back up, it actually goes in there. Manny would be able to tell you about this. Pacing, they do that intentionally. They cut you off at the most frustrating part. And it's bullshit! Because they're just cutting you off at the most frustrating part. I don't understand why. It's not a good time in storytelling to actually stop the story. And that's kind of the point, because they want you hooked to buy the next part. But by its nature, it's not a great way to tell a story. You should tell stories with act breaks, man. But that's never where they stop them. They start 20% into the next act break right before, you know, right as conflict kind of starts. And I get that's the nature of a cliffhanger, and that's what I'm arguing against. Like, I hate cliffhangers. It's just it's a crappy way to tell a story that gets you what you want, but I feel ultimately leaves the viewer, the listener, the player shortchanged. It kind of feels like the fucking Hobbit movie. Like, yeah, you brought me all the way the fucking end, like, just to fucking see Smaug, and now I got to wait a fucking year for this battle to pick up, and its impact is lost. It's lost all impact. Like, that's why I hate cliffhangers, because when you come back from them, most of the time, you're not nearly as jazzed as when you had fucking left a bit. It would have been better just to tell you more fucking story. or at least keep it short enough window that it doesn't fade in your memory. Like, having a full sequel or a game that ends with a cliffhanger just enrages me. Because, cool, now I'm supposed to keep my excitement up for 3 fucking years? No, I'm just, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait 3 fucking years and then replay or rewatch or redo whatever the content that leads me back into it. Because, again, we all know that's the better way to do a story. What do we do if we're watching a sequel and we haven't seen the original in forever? We go watch the original. Because it's not a good way to just pick up with the sequel and be like, yeah, I forgot where we left. Okay, that's the end of my rant.
That's interesting. I learned Brett doesn't like cliffhangers. So I'm guessing, like, if you lived in, like, the 1930s, you would have hated those Flash Gordon serials that always ended on cliffhangers and shit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you either have to learn to ignore it or wait. And, like, some things I do enjoy. Like, I did enjoy it with, like, Game of Thrones, like, kind of waiting and seeing what happens. I'm sure it's fun to binge and everything like that, but I oftentimes engrossed in a show, stopping a show 5 minutes ahead of time because that's an act break, like that's a scene break. That's where you would naturally take a moment, and then they lead him with something else. So yeah, man, it's cliffhangers, I think, are bad writing. They're bad writing for the excuse to make sure that you come back next time. But it's definitely not the most.
Remember the old school Batman one with Adam West? Huh?
I'm off the opposite mind. I think cliffhangers are genius just because of the fact they force you back next time. You want to see where that shit ends. I'm like, that's actually genius. Pretty fucking.
They're so easy to do. You just start.
No, but it's smart, dude. It brings you back. It brings you back, and it's guaranteed every time. You know, that's why they do it. You know, that's why they do it.
I mean. I've had plenty of really satisfying stories, even serialized or episodic, that don't feel the need to put you on a cliffhanger. They can finish what they're doing and then just recognize that you want to hear the rest of the story enough. Like, you don't have to finish the whole story, but you don't have to, like, get right to the point where you're like, and then something happens, and we'll tell you what it is next time. Like, no, man. Like, you just resolved a conflict that was part of a larger story arc, then episode break, and then start another one where they're like, okay, here's where we're coming from next time. Like, Avatar The Last Airbender is a perfect example. It's one of the reasons I praise that show so much, is the pacing and the writing on it is fan-fucking-tastic. Yeah, there's always something kind of on the horizon, but they kind of end up breaking it up in ways that you don't feel an obsessive need to watch the next episode right fucking now. You're just regular looking. Like, yeah, they get fucking even Attack on Titan. Like, every episode, you're like, why here? Why did you stop? I can't watch that in real time. It's too. It hurts too much, man.
That's interesting. Because I love that shit. I'm going to be honest. I like cliffhangers. I like being, oh shit, what's going to happen next? And then the anticipation. I love that shit, man. You know. And I thought Attack on Titan did a great job of it. It's like that really kept you on the edge of your seat. Like, oh shit, what's going to happen?
No, it did. In fact, like, you know, 20 minutes, you're like, oh, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling satisfied. Then 5 minutes later, you're like, what the fuck? It's just, I know it's a fun way to tell things, like, but I don't like when video games abuse them because video games don't come out quickly. You know, if you have Endgame, you have Infinity War, you know, a year later or whatever.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, I can understand you with video games. I'm pretty sure there's been a point in my life where I'm like, what the fuck? What is this shit? You know, like with a video game specifically, you know, that's annoying when you spent like, I could understand with a video game, but like normal TV, I'm like, it's only 20 minutes, man. Just wait another week, you know?
Oh, yeah, normal TV. Yeah, no. I don't mind it when they do that. And I'm sorry if I gave the impression that I just flat hate cliffhangers all that much. I personally see them as a fairly lazy storytelling device. It doesn't necessarily always mean a bad thing. Sometimes simpler is better, but in fucking video games or movies, like, you have to be real careful how you use them. The longer the time before satisfaction, the less I give a shit. Hey. If 3 years goes by from the time that I last participated in whatever media, book, movie, video game, TV show, if it's 3 fucking years later, I'm like, I don't really care about what you were doing anymore. I've just kind of moved on.
That got a War 2 ending, though, man. Like, again, I was like, oh, shit. And we had to wait like 3 years for that. But I was hyped the entire time. I didn't lose my enthusiasm, you know?
What about, like, the recent Data War, that ending?
Dad of War was a point. Yeah.
Again, I like that. I'm like, shit, let's go. You know?
That was good.
I thought that was fantastic. I'm like, let's fucking, like, got me. I'm still hyped for that. Like, what's going to happen next? It's going to be fucking good. You know? But you know what works, though? Because the rest of the game was so satisfying. Like, the core story of that game came to a conclusion, and then they threw this little thing at you to get you hyped. I like that sort of stuff.
See,
you know?
There we go. And that's why I think it was, like, as long as you bring the core conclusion in, you don't sever the video game. But I did feel like the world, like, I got cheated out of, like, when you looked at the map, you're like, there's going to be all of these areas open. There's not all those areas open. And even at the end of the game, like, not all the areas are open.
Yeah, I know that's a big thing for you. Like, I didn't mind. I'm like, okay, we get a sequel, whatever. We'll explore them later. I understand they need to make another game. They got to tease you, so I have no problem with that.
So are they going to use the same map on the next game and let you go back to the previous areas?
No, they'll probably do something to change it up. You know how video games do it, you know?
Exactly. So, like, you show me this whole map, and then you let me use, like, 15% of it. Like, it's a bit of a bait and switch, man. Like, that's I know it's not a narrative one, but that still pissed me off. Like, I was like, where's the rest of the fucking game?
All right. What the hell were we even talking? Oh, yeah, cliffhangers. Anybody else cliffhangers that you hated?
I just need to add, Brett, I too concur. I'm not a fan of literal blue balls.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brett.
I guess the God of War 2 one, because, again, it was just like you had worked up all that time and you had all that frustration and rage, and it's like, okay, cool, I finally get to take down this guy who's kind of an asshole. Yes, Kratos is also an asshole, but it doesn't matter because he's my asshole. So, yeah, we're friends. So it was just like, oh, okay, finally get to take him down. He has run away. He's a person. I can't mention that word because it offends people.
Yeah.
He's a person. And it's like, okay, you finally get to take him down. And then it's like, oh, find out what happens next time on God of War. And it's like, no. Like, I don't want to find out what happens next time. I want to do it now. Like, he's right there. I'm climbing up the mountain. Just wait half an hour game, please. But yeah, I was not a fan of that. Yeah. And I can see how Halo 2 was also the same thing, where it's like, hey, finish the fight on, like, in the next game. Yeah, I'm just not a fan of games that don't seem to want to end their stories in one game. Like, it's not fun. You know, it's like one of the reasons why I like Avengers or the MCU is that each film is its own self-contained story, but it still is part of a larger story in itself. That's how games should be if you're building like a world or something. It's like, hey, you still have the game, which is its own self-contained story, but then also a hint at the larger thing happening, not just ending like two-thirds of the way through.
By the way, this is unrelated, but it still kind of is because it's a gaming friend of ours, Mr. Gary Swaby. I am still mad at this motherfucker because his first novel, Descendant of the Elders, has the ultimate cliffhanger. And I'm like, Gary, what are you doing to me, bruh? Like, I'm nearing the ending. I'm like, hold on, there's only a couple of pages left. What the fuck? They're not done yet. And then it just ends. I'm like, Gary, what are you doing? Gary, you know, like, what are you doing, bruh? Oh, man. Shout out to Gary Swaby, man. All right. Let's get some extra questions in here since we do have a little bit of time. Mr. Roman Ronan asks us, let's see, is there a game series that you like to troll, not hate on, simply because you think its fans act like crazed zealots? I'm pretty sure I have something like that, but I can't think of anything at the moment. You guys have a franchise you like to troll on just to piss off the fans?
No, I usually don't give a shit. It's like, whether people let people like what they like. And
I know, I got one. Yeah, Smash Brothers. I will always talk shit about Smash Brothers because those guys are so sensitive, man. You know? Oh shit, who said that? Otaku Man says Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. It's for real, man.
Yo, Andre, you crazy, man. Yeah, for me, yeah, Smash Brothers. That's one. I'm like, my mind is like, it's not a real fighting game. That's it. That sets the guys off, you know. But I don't hate on Smash Brothers. It's, you know, it's good for the kids, you know. See, I'm doing it again. I can't even help myself, you know. What about the rest of you guys? Any franchises you troll on just to troll?
Crickets.
All right. I guess everybody's a nice guy on Throwdown. I'm the only asshole, apparently.
All right. I like to talk shit on Fortnite, even though I really don't care.
Yeah. But it's so easy, though. You know, that's like the lowest hanging. That's not even low hanging food.
It's free.
Yeah, bread. It's not even low hanging food. It's just already there for you on a, in a basket. You know. Oh man. All right. And the last question of the night from Black Metal Gamer. I think we've answered this one before. What third party controllers or accessories did you actually like using? 8BitDo, anything 8BitDo. I like Adam Pouch.
You know? Yeah, I love 8BitDo. Yeah,
8BitDo's a shit.
I liked the Nintendo Max back in the NES days. That was fun. Remember that? It had the little swivel around. It was, it's like a thumbstick before a thumbstick. It was like
Yeah.
That was cool. That was the third.
I liked, I forget the name of it, but it was the Sega Dreamcast Fight Pad with six buttons on it. That was good. I enjoyed that. For more current ones, the Astro A40 is dope. PlayStation 4 controller. There's also the Fusion A Fight Pad, which I use for Street Fighter.
Very good. Astro A40 is a headset.
Is it? I thought it was.
Yeah, I have it right here.
That's not it.
Give me a second. I'm going to go off camera. Adam, keep talking, bro. Keep talking.
These are the Astro A40s right here, and then you can take the plates off on the sides there. There you go. What was it?
My bad.
So, I don't know. He's talking
C40,
about
C40, Adam.
C40.
Yeah, see?
All right, C40.
Oh, I can't fucking hear you. All right, yeah. So, yeah, the C40s. You got. Actually, I did an unboxing of this with Manny. It was pretty cool, you know?
Yo, man.
What else?
By the way, shout out to Manny who's sending us a message, and I'm like, yo, Manny,
why aren't you here, motherfucker? Are you in the theater sending us this shit?
You know, at the movies.
Maybe I think he's lying to us, man.
He went to go see Tenet.
Maybe he did go see Tenet. Man. What the fuck kind of movie is that anyway? I'm confused.
It's a time travel.
You got my attention. Christopher Nolan too?
Yep.
By the way, Christopher Nolan and time travel.
That's why he wanted to make sure it was in theaters because he wants to make that money. But it's funny because if you look up on through AMC and you look up the theaters that are open, you know, you could usually see the layout for seats, and then you could see that none of these showings are selling out or even close to it.
Yeah. By the way, I will admit not to talk about movies so much. Christopher Nolan, I thought he was one of the greatest directors of all time for a while. I'm like, yo, this motherfucker's the shit.
Oh, what happened?
Then I saw Interstellar. I'm like, oh, okay. You lost me, bro.
Come on. Interstellar. Right. Let us fight.
Tenet is on that level. Tony, Tenet is on that level. It's getting the same reaction.
No, but that's not a good... I didn't like Interstellar, man.
They're like, what's up with this story?
Interstellar was... Okay, you know what? When the movie really... By the way, the whole physics with the black hole did not fucking work. Like that's how black holes operate, guys. You know?
You don't know. You don't know.
Yeah. Everything.
I mean, yeah, we do know. It was a dramatic nowhere movie full of bullshit fake science.
Thank you, Brett. The last ten minutes, yes,
but everything else was fine, Brett.
Yeah, sounds like Mass Effect.
In fact, the problem is that it built up to the last 10 minutes.
Thank you, Brian. Yo, when Anne Hathaway said like the love is the thing that unites the universe, I'm like, I'm done. Because I went in there thinking this was going to be a hard sci-fi movie, and it was to a point, and then it goes into some other crazy metaphysical shit. I'm like, I didn't want this, man. What the fuck? You know?
But even 2001 A Space Odyssey did.
That's why I don't like that movie either, because it goes into some bullshit. I'm like, what the hell is this? Stick with the sci-fi, you know? Like, that's why, by the way, it's funny, because I remember I saw Interstellar, and then like a few months later, The Martian came out. Like, that's what I want to fucking see. Hard science. No bullshit with that, you know?
Andy Weir.
That you guys learned something about it. That's one of my pet peeves when it comes to sci-fi movies. I hate when the movie is like pure hard sci-fi for 80% of it, and then it goes into some other crazy bullshit for the 80%. I'm like, come on, man.
Trivia time. What do name one important thing that The Martian and Interstellar have?
Yeah. By the way,
Damon.
And that's the funny thing you say that because Carlos, that's funny me bring up because I felt the movie really went down Interstellar when Matt Damon showed up, which is funny because I love The Martian. Matt Damon was in the whole movie, you know. Like when he showed up in Interstellar, the whole movie was like, you know. Oh, God.
I think I didn't really mind the last part. I understand why people it's so freaking polarizing, and I'm not gonna dispute that with people who have issues with it. But I think overall as a package, it's incredible. The freaking the cinematography.
Well, it's Christopher Nolan.
Lore,
yeah.
like everything, even like the beginning part when he's traveling and when he's getting with McConaughey's reading those messages. It's like, yo, man, that shit was crazy. I love that movie. I mean, the ending I can do without. Well, not even the ending, like the pre-ending where he goes into the black hole. That part I can do without. But even the part where he sees his daughter at the end, that's fine.
Yeah, I like the stuff they actually got right. The
physics works.
There's
videos. There's actually videos of it explaining it, and it makes sense. But the fact that I needed to see a video to understand it is.
No. Hold on. I am a fan of quantum physics. I watch them documentaries all the fucking time on for fun. I understand the idea of superposition, and that is still bullshit. Quantum physics does not include any sort of time dilation or time travel, much less the ability to affect things. You know what's that?
What didn't have it?
Quantum physics?
No. You said something didn't have time travel on it.
Quantum physics, yeah. He said, doesn't
quantum
have time
physics
travel.
Quantum physics doesn't have time travel properties to
yes,
it.
Yes, it does.
Uh-oh.
Thorland's about to get into some of this.
I studied quantum physics.
I'm gonna allow it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let's do this. Like, what part of quantum physics transcends linear time space?
The part where you can put an electron or a proton and put it at the speed of light, and it's gonna travel at a much slower. It's gonna go at a much slower time than we are.
No, that just shows that time is has relativity. It doesn't show that you can actually.
Well, relativity is physics.
Okay, so you can dilate time as you like reach the edge of a black hole. Sure, show me an instance where you can where something is thrown into the past. Anything.
Oh well, if you're talking about the past, then that goes against the theory of relativity, and it goes against whatever science we have as of today.
Yeah, isn't that what Brett just said? That's what Brett just said.
No, they never went into the past. Brett is mad because they didn't go into the past.
He's getting messages from his future self.
They go to the future. They don't go to the past.
He's getting messages from his future self. His future self is sending messages back in time.
No, not back in time. He's getting messages from people when they sent it, but those messages take way too long because he's going into the future as in relativity to his
because
daughter.
Of time dilation. By the way, I actually did. That's one of the things I thought the movie got right. It, you know, if you're near a black hole with all the mass it has, time dilation is going to be really like you're going to really feel it when you come back to Earth and shit. A bunch of years are going to pass. They did get that part right, you know. But yeah. Carlos, explain to me in quantum physics where you find a fucking library inside of a black hole. And you're able to breathe air and all that shit.
Since no scientist has ever been through black hole, we can't prove it. Just how we can't prove there isn't a bearded white man on top of a guy.
Is there a giant floating baby inside of there too? Oh man, good stuff. All right, yeah, we're done, people. So let's, Adam, you have to pimp anything?
Let me see. Do I have anything to pimp? No,
no articles,
actually.
No WrestleCast.
No, nothing. No, because I mean, the WrestleCast already happened. That was today. I mean, well, the pay per view that was Payback. That was kind of fun. That happened already. We got another one coming, but I'll talk about that on Thursday. But
all right.
That's for the next.
Talk about that.
Yeah, and then that's it. I mean, it's Yeah, no, actually nothing.
Ooh. All right, man. So it's happening, people. In just a few short days, we'll reach episode 300 of Throwdown. Dun, dun, dun. Or I should say, you know. So we're going to have Mr. Paris Lily on as our special guest, along with Riku Sun 1, and we're going to have a lot of fun there. We're also going to have a contest where we're going to give you a chance to win a free game from us. Details coming soon, but it's going to be a hard one that I've been waiting a bunch of years to stump you guys with. So that'll be a lot of fun. And we're also going to announce our biggest contest ever. We're taking shit to the next level, right? So that's September 3rd, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. And then Sunday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern on September 6th, we're going to have Throwdown Your Questions. This very show that you're listening to is going to be episode 300, the AMA special, where you may even hear us talk about science, man, because you can ask us whatever you want, and you guys could ask us three questions, which will be cool. And for that episode, we're going to have Mr. Andre Tradesman, who's probably still hanging out in the chat. And Andre, get ready for that, because we're not just going to answer video game questions. It could be anything. So that should be a lot of fun. You know, so stay tuned for all of that stuff, because Throwdown Can't stop, won't stop. Yeah, you know. All right, man. So that's gonna do it for us. So make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe to us on YouTube and join our Discord, bruh. You can find us on any podcast app by searching for Throwdown Show. That's two words: Throwdown Space Show. You can visit ThrowdownShow.com. You can find all the wonderful podcast apps that we're on. You know, they're all listed right there in Audio Boom on the left hand side. And for links to all that stuff, down below, people, as always, man. So once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Carlos Romero.
Yeah, everyone, make sure to take care, everyone. Make sure to watch to get my excellence issue number 5.
Number 9.
Number 9. Who else is missing? That's it.
Yeah. All right. Adam Vail.
Yeah, have a good week, everybody.
Brett Murdoch.
Let's be real, people.
And Brian Monjoma.
Don't worry, Tony. Your PS5 won't catch the Rona.
Oh, man. Yo, we'll see you guys on Thursday, man. Episode 300 is coming at you, man. Peace out.